Coming again to what has been called our model text last Sunday morning, you may remember we looked at verse 1 of 18, Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I should say that this particular story, this particular injunction that we're looking at, was given in the first instance to show us that it takes prayer of God's people to maintain Christianity in the world. Notice verse 8 of this chapter. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, or find the faith on the earth? So it is as men and women pray that the success of the gospel is guaranteed throughout the world in all ages, right up to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again. But anyhow, since we are concentrating on the business of prayer, we noticed last week the duty to perform. Men ought always to pray, and we went into that in some detail. And then we saw, secondly, that there was the possibility that had to be resisted, that possibility being that we can lose heart, that we can faint. That's what that word faint means in this context. To lose heart, to lose strength, to lose energy, to lose passion, to lose enthusiasm for the things that we're praying for. And the Lord Jesus is telling us, if you keep on praying, you'll not faint. But if you faint, you'll not pray. So it's one or the other. And we don't want to faint, brethren and sisters. No matter how long we have got to keep praying about a thing, we need to make sure that we do keep on praying. So we saw the duty to perform and the possibility that has to be resisted. We didn't have time to finish the third thing I wanted to draw your attention to. And that's at the beginning of the verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. A parable, the girls and boys would know. I remember growing up in Sunday school days, and we were taught a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Lord Jesus now is giving us an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we want now to look at the story, and we want to give consideration to it. And that story is found in verses 2 of Luke chapter 18, right down there to verse 6 and even verse 7. So we've looked at the duty to perform, the possibility to be resisted, and now the story to be considered. Well, what was the story? If the Bible says the Lord Jesus spake a parable or spake a story unto them, what was it? Here it is. He told about a certain woman. She was a widow woman. Now, a widow is a disadvantage at any time, but in the society in Bible days, especially when there was no welfare care, that must have been a terrible thing to be a widow, let alone the heartbreak of losing your husband. So this woman had something that was a great heartache to her. It was something that she needed avenged, something that she needed redressed. So she went to a judge, and she said to him, avenge me of mine adversary. But the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, he wouldn't do it. Certainly not for a time. And then he changed his mind. And the woman got what she wanted. She got her situation and her grievance redressed. And the Lord Jesus then said, hear what the unjust judge says. Now, if he said that and did that, and we're going to be seeing about this in a moment, he says, ought not God, will not your heavenly Father give you what you want? Will he not avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him? He says, I tell you, he will, and he'll do it speedily. Now, he may delay for a long, long time, but whenever God's time comes, it'll all happen so quickly. So that's the story. But that story is something that we need to consider today. And there are several matters in it that I want you to see. And the whole purpose of it is to keep us on in prayer and to prevent us from fainting. This is what this story, this is what this parable is all about. Notice first of all then the perplexity that this woman suffered. Some adversary, we don't know who he was. One preacher that I read about this imagined that it could well have been that whenever her husband died, ground fell into the wrong hands, and the woman was deprived of that which was rightfully hers, and she went to the lawful authority to try to get the situation redressed. We don't know what it was, but we know this, that somebody wronged this poor particular woman. Greatly disadvantaged as he was, and the woman had all of this particular difficulty to contend with. It was a great perplexity to her. Now, men and women, isn't it true that you and I have great needs as well? This is one of the reasons why we pray. It's one of the reasons why we should pray. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ. We are allowed to pray about anything, and certainly our needs. And as I look into your eyes and look into your faces today, every single one of you, along with the preacher, we all have needs. Well, therefore, like this woman, needs that may perplex us, needs that may bring great difficulty to us, we ought then to bring them to the Lord in prayer. A perplexity. Have you come to church today with a heartbreak? Have you come to church today and your mind is confused and bewildered because of all the adverse circumstances that are happening to you? Has somebody even wronged you and it's not being redressed? Well, you know something then about the plight that this woman suffered. But notice not only the perplexity she suffered, but notice the plea that she voiced. She went to the judge. Notice what we read in verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, she was very specific. She didn't, as we say, beat about the bush. She was very precise. She was definite in her petition. And she went to this judge. Now, this judge would have been the legitimate authority to whom she should go. He was qualified for that. He was set aside for that particular work. It was his duty to address the grievances of people that were under him in a town or village where he exercised his authority. So this woman did the right thing. She went to this woman and she took the matter to him. And that's what we should do, ladies and gentlemen. The one who is the person to address our grievances and to bring about redress is the judge of all the earth, the righteous judge, as the Bible calls him. And he is well qualified. He has been appointed as such. And he's able to meet the needs of the case, just as this judge was able to meet the needs of the case. And in one of our hymns, we read, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's follow the example of this woman in our great perplexity. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Or as Peter tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Or as the psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We have got someone that we can bring our perplexity, our needs to as well. This is why we've got to keep always praying and not fainting. There's someone here that can address our need. But notice thirdly, the problem she encountered. And this again, the Lord is telling us, in order to keep us on praying no matter what the difficulty is. Now, notice the wording. If you look at verse 3, there was in a city a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not. The judge was adamant. He would not, just wouldn't do it. I don't know what the reason was. Was he taking bribes from the other party? We don't know. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But he just flatly denied. He was an unjust judge, the Lord called him. He had no sympathy for this poor woman. He was arrogant. Notice what he says. I fear not God, and I don't regard men. Here was a man who was a law unto himself. He had no feeling for his fellow men. He just thought of himself as number one, and he made no bones about the matter that he had no time for God either. And this poor woman went to him who was set aside to redress needs, and she got nowhere with him whenever she went for that first time. She must have been disappointed. She would have expected more from this person. After all, according to God's word, these judges are to be men of integrity and men of feeling and compassion. And here I am, a widow who has been grievously wronged, and he's not even helping me in any way. So she must have been terribly disappointed. And then again, she must have felt that she was being treated most unfairly. She certainly would have deemed that she was being treated harshly, and perhaps even to the point of being demoralized. I wonder, have you felt that problem whenever you've come to the Lord Jesus in prayer? You have heard people say to you, well, the Lord Jesus answers prayer. And so he does. But he doesn't answer mine. And you've come to him at different times with great need. And that first time that you have come, there has been no outward sympathy that you can see from him. It's at such a time that we tend to be faint, and the Lord says men should always pray, ought always to pray, and not to faint. Now what was this poor woman to do? Stop praying? Stop pleading with the judge? Was she to faint? Did she have to go home and mope and say, there's not a one to help me? And that judge who is set aside for looking after things like this, he doesn't want to know. No, she didn't take that attitude at all. Notice the fourth thing about her, and this is so important. This is what the whole tenor of the story is all about. We are told that she displayed great persistence. Notice the wording again in verse 4. We need to keep going over these words. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, she kept persisting. Her continual coming. That's the tremendous thing to note here. She may have been weak. She may have been demoralized. She may have been heartbroken. She may have been down in the dumps. But it didn't stop her from keeping on praying. The judge acknowledges by her continual coming. She went back again. And the old judge was just as arrogant as he had been the first time. And even when she was refused that time, she didn't stop. She came again. And again he said no. Now, there have been great imaginations have been brought into play here to imagine this. And it's a great joy to read them. And who's to say it didn't happen? But it's only a person's imagination. One of them that I read said, she went to the court and she shouted out, avenge me of mine adversary. And then there was a noise of this interruption. And the judge says, get her out of here. I don't want to be bothered with her again. So she waited around till the court was over. And the judge was being brought home. And she came upon him. And she said, sir, you've got to avenge me of mine adversary. And she followed him as he was walking home. And then he got inside the door. He says, oh, I'm glad to get in here. This is driving me crazy. An hour or two later, the door knocked. And the servant came to the door. I want to see his lordship. And he heard the rumpus going on at the door. I've got to see him. I need to be avenged of mine adversary. No good, he wasn't going to give in. She went home unsuccessful. The next day, when the court was sitting, the same procedure happened again and again. She kept at it. Now, who's to say that that didn't happen? But at any rate, this we do know. She kept persisting continually. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the Old Testament gives us instances like that. You remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. Whenever the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and the false prophets were put to the sword, Elijah went a bit higher up the mountain, and he cast himself down in a condition of great in a position of great inconvenience, and he cried to God, and he sent a servant to look out over the Mediterranean to see was there any indication of the rain coming now. Time and time again the servant went out after Elijah prayed, but the answer was the same: not a thing. The seventh time that happened, the servant came back and said, there's a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, that wouldn't signify much to us. A cloud the size of a man's hand. We have seen many a cloud in the sky, but it's never rained. But Elijah took that as a token for good. He rose up. He says, it's time to go. He knew there was a sound of abundance of rain. But the Lord kept him praying before the answer came. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 7, we're told, give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. In other words, we've got to keep at it. We've got to persist with God. And then in chapter 64 of Isaiah, this is what God says, there is none that stirreth up himself to take hold upon me. God wants us to be excited. He wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be zealous. He wants us to be earnest. He wants us to persist in prayer. That's what it is. Friend, have you given up? Have you thrown in the towel? Have you said, I can't go on anymore? Prayed for years and the answer hasn't come. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And to prove the point, to give us an illustration of that, this woman has persisted, and the old judge says, her continual coming. She kept at it. There was another woman, the Lord Jesus told us about her. And we learn of her in Matthew 15. And she came to the Lord, she says, Lord, my wee girl's at home, possessed of an evil spirit. And the Lord wouldn't even answer her. Never acknowledged her at all. She kept on pleading. But the disciples thought that they would get in the act. And oh, how wrong they were. And they said, Lord, send her away. Now they were so callous. Christian men, send her. They had no compassion for the poor woman. They said, Lord, send her away. But here's how arrogant they were and how presumptuous. They said, Lord, send her away. She crieth after us. She wasn't crying after them at all. She wasn't interested in them. It was the Lord Jesus Christ she was interested in. And then whenever the Lord began to speak, what he had to say to her was anything but encouraging. You know what she said? He said to her, he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she just said, Lord, help me. And then the Lord spoke again. Do you know what else he said? He says, it's not meet, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She was willing to be treated as a dog. And she says, truth, Lord, but. She took the Lord up on the word, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And when she said that, the Lord Jesus said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That's what he was looking for. Praying that would not result in fainting. Praying that was gaining momentum by faith in him. And he says, woman, your faith great. Be it just as you want it. And the girl, the wee girl, was healed that very hour. That, my dear friend, is persistence. You remember whenever the church in Acts chapter 12 was going through a period of terrible persecution, James was taken and he was slain with a sword. And whenever Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter, intending after Easter also to bring him to the Jews and get rid of him. But the Bible tells us that prayer was made without ceasing. Notice that, without ceasing. Persisting throughout the whole night. For Peter, unto God for Peter, and the church gathered, not just a handful out of the church, but the church, the praying people, they were willing to meet those who could throughout the night, and pray for one thing only, and that was Peter. And God answered their prayers. And in Romans 12, verse 12, he says, continue instant in prayer. Keep at it. Continue. And not faint. So this wee widow, in Luke chapter 18, she did all of that. Still, time and time again, there was no answer until one day. We've seen the perplexity she had. Somebody had grieved her, an adversary, in a very callous way. We've seen the plea that she voiced, "Avenge me of mine adversary," she said to this judge. We've seen the problem that she suffered. He wouldn't bother answering her. We've seen the persistence that she displayed. But how long do you persist? That brings me to the last thing I want you to notice. The prevalence she gained. She prevailed with this judge. Now notice the wording again, verse 4. He would not, that is, he would not give her request. He would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, and he took great pride in saying this, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. All that persistence was troubling this hard-hearted man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I'll give her what she wants, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She prevailed with him. She was prevalent. Now notice what the Lord said. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Well, let's hear it again what he said. Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, and wearieth me, by her much coming, I'll avenge her. She prevailed. She got what she wanted. The judge's change of mind. She won the day. What was the reason? Because she was torturing the man. She was persisting in her prayers. And she was irritating and annoying this callous, hard-hearted being. But she wasn't going to give in. Faint? Not her. Keep on praying. Yes, she was. And the Lord Jesus said, hear what he said. Now, he says, if the judge would do that, what about my Father? Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now there are some things to notice here in this prevalence that will give you and me great encouragement and fresh momentum and fresh enthusiasm to pray. We've already seen the need to persist and persevere. But think of this woman. She was coming to a hard-hearted, callous, careless, godless man who was so selfish. We are coming to a loving Heavenly Father in the Lord God Almighty, one who's called the Righteous Judge. See the difference? That woman was coming to a tyrant. We are coming to a loving Heavenly Father. Secondly, that woman had no promise to encourage her to keep on praying. Whereas we have many a promise in God's Word. Ask and ye shall receive as one of them. Time and time again, there are rich promises. Call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. See the difference? We have all the encouragements that that woman had not. Now, that woman had no advocate in the court. Nobody to take up her case and to plead her cause. Whereas the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We are allowed to come to the judge. We are allowed to come to the Father through him. And we are allowed to take his name. And we are allowed to plead all that the advocate has done for us when he died on the cross. My, what arguments we have for having our prayers answered. Whenever this widow persisted, the judge didn't take it too kindly. He was irritated, to put it mildly. Whereas our loving Heavenly Father loves to see his people persisting with him. Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to a seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. My, there's a man determined to plead and to argue rightfully and to persist until he gains his answer. And that's the kind of praying that the Lord wants us to do. Keep on praying and not fainting. The faithful band of praying people in this church And we've been praying this last few years, in the midst of all our difficulty, that God will turn the tide. The answer hasn't come yet. But we've got a friend at court, the Lord Jesus. And he wants us to keep on praying. He wants us to persist, even though it could take much longer before the situation is reversed. Maybe there are individuals here, and you're praying for a person or something that you feel that God has allowed you, encouraged you, prompted you to pray for. And you can't understand, if he has put this prayer in your mind and heart and put it there as a heavy burden, why there's no answer? You've got to keep at it. You've got to come continually. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we have seen what the parable was. Don't give in at any cost. I was reading this week of a preacher preaching on this. And he says, you keep praying that petition that you believe God has authorized you to pray, even though the answer hasn't come, even though it's your prayer on your dying bed. God never ties himself to a time to answer. He told a story. The story is this. There was a Christian man, and he had a number of boys in his family, and not one of them saved. In fact, the older they got, they not only were negligent of the things of God, but they just turned away from Christianity altogether. And the poor man was heartbroken. He says, well, when I come to die, I hope to die in such a way that they'll see such a testimony in my death that they'll want to take Christ as their Savior. But whenever that man came to die, there was a terrible cloud came over him, a terrible darkness. He had doubts. And he realized that rather than encourage his boys to come to Christ, he was saying within himself, the way that I have been feeling and the way that I have been gloomy, they'll go completely against Christianity. They'll never want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus. And that's the way the good man died. He arranged the funeral. I think there were four or five of these boys. He arranged the funeral, had the services, went out to the grave, and came back in to the house afterwards. And the eldest of the boys said to his brothers, he says, boys, we need to do some thinking and some talking. Our father's death has taken place. Our father's funeral is over. We saw how he died. It was not pleasant for him. And if he, being such a man of God, died with such difficulty, what's going to happen to all of us whenever we die, the wretched lives that we're living? And in a short time, each one of those boys became a child of God and followed the footsteps of their father. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is why he spoke this parable, told this story, to encourage us to keep on at it. Could I, in closing, challenge us each one to give ourselves as a congregation here in a concerted manner, give ourselves as a church in fresh consecration to pray, to uphold the prayer meetings of the church, to get to the prayer meetings of the church, no matter what it's going to take, no matter how long it will take, for the Lord to do what we believe he will do for us. Will you take up the challenge from the story, from our motto text? And then, secondly, could I call for perseverance for all of us, whether it's church matters, our own private matters, not to lose heart, but to keep praying, no matter how long it takes. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And remember the story of this widow, whom the Lord Jesus used as a sterling example to every one of us, that we can gain the day if we will come continually to our loving Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, plead the promise, and say, Lord, do as thou hast said.